We'll gobble up the November 28th, 2008 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For Thanksgiving week, this is the Rain Report, ham radio audio feature magazine, available on demand from therainreport.com. I'm Scott Childers, W9CHI. Being that it's Thanksgiving, I suppose I should do a discourse on radio turkeys of the 20th century. Well, maybe we'll get to that next time. This week, we're continuing the Rain Retrospective on the Big 89 WLS Radio, the subject of a book just published by Arcadia Press that I, yes, truly yours, speaking of turkeys, have actually been writing for about the last 2 years. Here's part two of Newsline's Bill Pasternak's interview he conducted with me about the groundbreaking radio history of WLS Radio, Chicago's Big 89.
I think we've lost a lot when you look at technology, because back in those days, and you know, I started listening in the 70s, and even then, that was a place where people came together and had common ground, because you only had so many stations, and the stations played Motown, they would play soft ballads, they would play the rock and rollers from Elvis, the Rolling Stones, and the Beatles, and it became a place where it was a melting pot, and if anything went on there, of course with the high profile personalities, everybody knew about it. When you were in school, that's what you talked about. An interesting story was Clark Weber, who was the morning guy and the program director at the radio station, had a little feud with his evening guy, Ron Riley, and they had done this up in Milwaukee, and it was ingenious because Clark would say something about Ron during the morning show, and then Ron would come back and say something about old Baldy Locks in the evening. It really came off as a real feud, and it got people listening both ends of the day. Very ingenious when you think about it at the time, yet very simple as well.
The whole thing that I remember is that the persona concept was make every listener think you're only talking to them.
You know what? That is the hallmark of radio even up to today, and television and video and DVD and everything else, as great as it is. Radio is still the medium where you can talk one-on-one with your audience. You're right. Back in those days, the personalities that were on the air were larger than life. And when you think about stations like WLS and WABC, who were the stations that brought the Beatles to their respective cities, the Beatles were huge. Everybody wanted to get near the Beatles, but they couldn't. And the jocks of the stations, whether it was here in Chicago with Ron Riley and Art Roberts, or if it was Scott Muni at WABC, they became bigger than life because they had access to the Beatles. As a result, they became celebrities themselves. But as the 70s and the 80s progressed, the station did very well with the rock and roll format. You know, it became a who's who of talent from around the country. All of the large acts all knew that that was the stop they needed to make. If they wanted their song to get on the air, they needed to stop at WLS. An interesting story about a band who was a local band here in Chicago. One of the jocks at the radio station, Jeff Davis, who writes the foreword for the book, told the story about how he was in a pizza parlor in the north side of Chicago one day. He was just sitting there having lunch or whatever, and he noticed that the waitress at the pizza place kept dropping her change that she had made from tips into the jukebox and kept playing one certain song over and over and over. And he found it very interesting. As he watched this unfold, when she kept playing it over and over, patrons in the restaurant started requesting that song as well and throwing their money in there. He went back to the radio station and asked the music director about this band and this certain song, and they had a 45 copy of it, and he asked if he could play it on his show. He said, all right, why not? We'll give it a go and see what happens. And the phones went crazy. WLS added the song as a part of the regular rotation. The song became a very, very big hit here in the Midwest and helped launch the career of a group who became national stars afterwards, known as Styx. And the song was Lady. Up to today, the group Styx attributes WLS for actually helping launch their career into superstardom. They were very big here in the local area, but without the muscle of the radio station, they may have just remained a local group. And, of course, we know what they've done after that.
Personality-driven radio, unfortunately, seems to have given way to today's homogenized radio.
Well, I have noticed being in the business, and, you know, I'm lucky at where I work now that being local is very important, but unfortunately, with deregulation, that has really taken a lot of the muscle out of the radio, and some people will blame technology. Some people will blame iPods. Some people will blame their phones. Some people will blame satellite radio. But I think what you'll find is that the ones that can still do it locally are going to still come out ahead. And based on what I've seen with this book, it's amazing how many people will purchase the book or flip through the book, and it will bring back memories for them that are unique to them. Oh, I remember when I was at the high school sock hop, or I remember I had my first date and the station was on and John Records Landecker played a song for me that I thought was great. Or even before that time, where people remember going to the National Barn Dance. We have a very nice picture in the book that was donated by one of the local clubs that I belong to, the CSRA. And he was just a young man at the time, had his camera out, and there was a parade going on in one of the suburbs, and several of the personalities during the Barn Dance era were in the parade, and he snapped some pictures of them. He said he remembers going to the Barn Dance shows with his mother down at the 8th Street Theater. And, you know, I think that's the part which radio has to remember, and I realize we're in an era where certain economic realities are in place. However, it's always best not to overestimate the listener, because when it still comes down to it, as you mentioned, it's that voice that connects with you. And I think that's where the future of radio is. Whether it is on an AM band or an FM band or through the internet or technologies we don't know yet, that human voice being able to connect one-on-one is the thing that really stands out above all.
You're listening to the conclusion of a Rain retrospective, spotlighting the history of Chicago's Big 89 WLS Radio. With me, Scott Childers, W9CHI. I'll wrap up my comments about one of the nation's most influential radio stations in a moment. This is the Rain Report, being subsidized by Merle Heinlein, KB9NOH. You'll find his bio on QRZ.com. We'll be right back.
The book is 200 pictures, which spans all the way from the beginning until about 2007. And it takes you through a ride through the era of the Prairie Farmer, Sears before that, through the rock and roll era into the 80s, as well as into the talk format, which is now on WLS featuring Rush Limbaugh and Ro Khan in the afternoon, and Don Wade and Roma, who just recently signed a contract extension. They have been the longest-running morning show in Chicago radio now. They went from middays as music jocks back in the rock era to talk show hosts when the station changed in 89, and they have been there ever since, and they will be with us for another 4 years as well. So it will take you pretty much all the way from the beginning to today with a lot of great captions, a lot of the great stars, no matter what the era was, and give you a nice thumbnail sketch of how the station got from there to here. And a wonderful introduction from Jeff Davis, who was the disc jockey who worked there back in the 70s and 80s and still continues to be station voice for WLS, even though he now lives in the hills of Hollywood. ISDN and any sort of codec in between, and that is how it works now. It's amazing. So I think if there was one thing that I regret, it's that I didn't have enough space. When I put the book together, there were a lot of painful cuts that I had to make in the book as far as getting it down to the right size. But, you know, that could always end up in a volume two. And I feel the book is a natural extension of what I started on the website, giving a real detailed history of what's happened. Now, obviously, by no means is it complete, as a lot of the pictures have disappeared and a lot of the memories may be distorted by people that have commented on it, but I think overall you'll find that it provides a very nice thumbnail of what the station was about and how it got from the early years to where they're at now.
A lot of the stations, I know where I worked in the old days, were also kind of ham radio driven in that many of the technical staff and a good number of the jocks were hams.
Yeah, they were, and I think that makes for a great natural extension. The stations that I work at now, our chief engineer is a ham, and he wasn't sure that he wanted to become one, but as he learned more about it from me, he ended up getting his license and passed his extra just recently, a few months ago. We're very proud of him. We have several jocks that are on the air on a couple of the stations and somebody in our promotions department, and we're trying to get them interested in the hobby as well. And when you go back to WLS itself, several of the high-profile jocks from the 60s, Clark Weber is W9FFB. He's still licensed. Ron Riley is a ham operator as well, who was big at night. And several of the engineering staff obviously have been licensed over the years as well. So it's a great stepping stone. Hopefully we'll get people to find that this hobby is a very interesting hobby and more than just CW, and that they can do a little bit more. So hopefully we can kind of extend the brand a little bit longer when you get to things like that. One of the other people that I want to mention real quickly is a good friend of mine and also a good friend of Hap Holly's as well, Dale Shimp. His call is W9LOV. He used to own a repeater system here in Chicago, which carried Newsline and the old Bear Information Service, and he's now down in Florida. Dale was at the station from the mid-40s all the way through the mid-80s, just a genuine personality. Could not ask for a nicer guy. He was quite an engineer, quite a personality, and also quite a ham as well.
And that concludes my musings about my favorite AM radio station of all time, WLS, the Big 89 from Chicago. Thanks to Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, for his interest in my new book, Chicago's WLS Radio, 1924 to 2007. And to Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, for editing and packaging Bill's interview. For more background about WLS, please visit WLSHistory.com. On a personal note, the aforementioned Dale Shimp encouraged Hap Holly to begin producing ham radio-oriented audio programming via the Bear Information Service, a mega info service heard between 1984 and 1989 throughout the greater Chicagoland area on the W9LOV broadcast employee's amateur repeater and a handful of 2, 220, and 440 systems. I was proud to be associated with the BIS and the CSRA1 information nets. That's a wrap on this Rain Report, which is copyright 1990-2008 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Scott Childers, W9CHI, reminding you that you can find me on my favorite FM station every afternoon on Star 96.7 FM right here in Chicago. 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network, at www.therainreport.com.